Now, this little lake, the Sea of Galilee, was thronging with boats, because as Jesus took his leave and he sent his disciples to the other side in their vessel, many took to their boats to try and find the Lord. Now, they were all confused how to find him. He was not in the boat with the other disciples, and they were soon asking, "Lord, how did you get across the sea?" And so there are many marvelous things in this passage.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today we're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 6. And of course, you should know that's the chapter where the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. He multiplied the bread and he multiplied the fish. He fed the multitude, and yet there were 12 baskets over. That's just like the Lord Jesus. That's just like the way he does things. He takes the little, he multiplies it, and he feeds all, and yet there is plenty left over. And of course, the Lord does that spiritually with us. He can multiply the blessing in your life, in your soul. He can fill you full of grace, full of joy, full of peace in rejoicing in God's salvation. So stay tuned with us today, right through to the end of the program, and I hope that it will be a blessing to your own heart just to listen, to hear the Word of God by faith, because we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. May it be a great blessing to your own soul today.
Then said they unto him, "What shall we do, that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Let's pray a moment. Father, we thank thee for the privilege of taking this cup and bread in remembrance of our Lord Jesus, to gaze upon our suffering Savior, who today is crowned with glory, crowned victor, who has defeated the enemy of death, purchased life and salvation for your people, And to think that we are the people of your loving kindness. O Lord, teach us today what it meant for thee to redeem us with your own blood. And draw us to yourself today and lead us into the blessedness, the sweetness of all that is in Christ. And we shall praise thee with all our hearts. Give help to each hearer. Let this word resonate. Let it ring true. Let it be the trumpet blast of the Lord's voice. Let it be that still, small voice of the heart. Oh, speak, Lord. Give the Holy Spirit in speaking today. I ask and pray in Jesus' wondrous name. Amen. I have always loved John chapter 6. It's the chapter of the feeding of the 5,000. Can you imagine what it must have been like to sit amongst that crowd on the hillside as the Lord broke that little boy's lunch and multiplied it and multiplied it till everybody was fed and 12 baskets were left over and the crowd was dispersed, every one of them fully fed. It is no wonder that that crowd continued to seek to follow the Lord Jesus. Now, this little lake, the Sea of Galilee, was thronging with boats because as Jesus took his leave and he sent his disciples to the other side in their vessel, many took to their boats to try and find the Lord. Now, they were all confused how to find him. He was not in the boat with the other disciples, and they were soon asking, Lord, how did you get across the sea? And so there are many marvelous things in this passage. And then, as is often the case with our Lord, he takes the miracle and he makes it a teaching object lesson because he says, I am the bread of life. Now, after that miracle of feeding the 5,000, the Lord had fed them. He filled them and he fueled them with excitement. It's a wonderful thing to see multitudes wanting to seek and find the Lord Jesus. We wonder, will we ever see it in Canada? What a great thing to see such a revival of interest in the Lord Jesus, where people are willing to give up home, time, their daily pursuits, that they might just have the ministry of the Lord to their souls. Now, you've obviously done that today. Some have traveled quite a distance. Some have made a great effort to be here and to hear the Lord's word. But still, we have empty seats. When will we ever see the peoples of Canada seeking after the Lord to find the food for their souls that they need? Now, before we run off with comparisons about Christ's day in Israel and our day here, let us seek the very essence of this analogy that the Lord now uses about him being the bread of life and of satisfying our souls. I want us to look at verse 26 and 27 today, where the Lord said in verse 27, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he was not talking about feeding the body, nourishing the physical needs of the crowd. He was alluding to himself as that bread of life that has come down from heaven to give life to souls. It is a spiritual feast, and it is that inner life satisfaction that Christians find in the Lord Jesus. And I ask you, have you found that inner peace and satisfaction? Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat unto everlasting life. That's the command. That's the word right here in this text. And as a Christian, have you found that inner peace? There are a lot of people who boast of their faith in the gospel, but their hearts ring hollow rather than finding the hallowed peace that is in the saving power of the Lord Jesus. And I want us today, as we come to this communion table, to meditate on the satisfying grace of the Lord Jesus. If Christ does not work an experience, and I underline that word experience as an evangelical gospel power that ought to be working as leaven within your heart so that you are truly satisfied in the grace, the sufficiency, and in loving the Lord Jesus and finding his love filling your own heart. Now you might say, preacher, boy, this is going to be deep. This sounds very mysterious. Well, someone said that life is a mystery, birth is a mystery, personality is a mystery, human experience is a mystery, Satan is a mystery, and yes, we can add the gospel of Christ to the list of mysteries. It's wonderful. It is truly wonderful. Just as that newborn babe, when he's born into this world and you get a glimpse of that newborn, it's amazing. How do you explain the bones forming in the womb? Personality is a mystery. There's no two people in this meeting exactly the same. Everyone will take away something slightly different from this service. Everyone thinks with a different comparison level. Every one of us is uniquely created. Why did you marry the wife you married? Or why did you choose the husband that you chose? Why are we not all wanting to marry the same person? That wouldn't work very well. We are uniquely created by God. And this satisfying of the soul. Yes, we have a soul. And the Lord Jesus has come into the world to be that true bread that brings real inner peace and satisfaction to our souls. Now, I'm not going to delve into the ethereal things today. I'm going to take the Lord's words, just these words in the text, starting here in verse 26 and verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. And there is from our Lord Jesus a word of correction. People spend so much energy in seeking the things that perish. It's a word of rebuke over men who are obsessed to find the satisfaction that the world offers. And there is a kind of satisfaction the world offers. Sin, pleasure, a whole list of things has its own levels of satisfaction. But what the Lord is pointing out, they perish. They don't endure. Sin has pleasure for a season, but they don't last. And we need to be rebuked about our overexcitement about the things, the bread or the satisfying physical cravings of the flesh. Food. How many recipes do you have in your kitchen cupboard? Do you spend as much time in your Bible as you do in the recipe book in your kitchen? There are people who are food connoisseurs. They are experts in tasting the subtle flavors in different methods of cooking, never mind the ingredients that are within. People get excited about food, luxuries of life, fashion, clothing, alcohol, drugs. I know that's on the dark side. Nevertheless, you think of the obsession in this country that there is, and the money that is spent on those things, the millions that are spent on things that destroy rather than endure. Sports, right now with the World Cup on, you can see the crowds, and they're following a ball. And when that ball goes into the wrong net, oh, the depression sets in. And people travel around the world to see a game. And when their side loses, it's a bad, bad day. Those things are, well, the thing that people put so much into, and yet we know they cannot endure. And so the Lord Jesus rightly tells us here, labor not for the meat that perisheth. And I need that correction. I need to be torn away from things that I could spend my life in, and they will just be like a burst balloon. The air will go out of it, and it's gone forever. And if that's how we live and die, what an empty world. What then will be the purpose of life? What will be the gain of it all? And we are rebuked here. And knowing human nature, knowing that generation after generation falling into this pitfall of seeking with obsession the bread that perisheth, we need that word of rebuke. And so we get our eyes today upon the thing that will last. And of course, our Lord Jesus pointed to himself that I am the bread of life. And he points us today in these symbols that we use in communion to consider his cross work. The Lord calls us to enjoy his satisfaction. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. That's wonderful stuff. And this, of course, was the Lord himself, the life that he lived on earth, and that he came from heaven to be bread for our souls. And I have to ask myself, and I know I'm a preacher, I've been preaching this gospel now for 40 years and some more. And I have to ask myself, really, am I finding my soul's satisfaction in the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life? And on this, we must meditate. I can answer this. I am satisfied that Jesus is the bread of life because he truly did come from heaven. He is not a mere man. He is not a son of Adam. He is the Son of God. And it was God who, in his great heart of love for our souls, gave his only begotten Son, the Son of his own nature, of his own essence, the Son of his own likeness, his other self. And God came down in the form of Christ in our nature. And of course, the Father spoke from heaven about his Son. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The divine nature is stamped upon the very life, the ministry of the Lord Jesus. His miracles tell us that he's no mere man. And after feeding the 5,000, these multitudes are stirred up. Now, many use religion and Christianity for their material needs, but never enjoy a morsel of gospel satisfaction for their souls. And I have to search my heart on this. Am I a professional preacher? Am I a minister of the gospel because somehow I got into this vocation or this discipline of life, and there are certain things that I need to do and responsibilities I have, and I must fulfill them as a minister of the gospel? And is that it? Or can I say that I personally, by faith, by living experience, look unto the Lord Jesus as my Savior, the satisfaction of my soul? And I'm to labor for the meat, not the meat that perisheth, but the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. I am to seek that with all my heart. Do you? Are you interested, striving? I'm using the word labor here. The word labor means energy, exertion. It means striving and longing to fulfill. Are you doing that? As you come to God's house today, of course, you are striving. You are laboring. You are making an effort that you will hear the gospel, that you will attend this communion service, that you will take that bread in your hand and the cup in your hand, and you join it with your earnest heart's cry, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting in your blood, I'm trusting in your crosswork, I'm trusting in your grace to meet the needs of my soul. That's the labor that is mentioned right here.
It's time for one of my pastoral talks. I heard you were not well, so I felt compelled to visit so I could talk with you. I'm very sorry to learn of what you're going through. We're thankful for the care you're receiving. We can pray for an accurate diagnosis as well as the right treatment. The hardest thing about illness is the uncertainty. It can be worse than the pain or the interruption that sickness brings into our daily lives. It puts so many things. As you wonder what is going on, and if you are a Christian, you will be asking, why me and why now? Remember that we are living in a fallen and broken world, and every son and daughter of Adam is subject to the curse of sin from Adam's fall into disobedience to God. It is called the fall, for through his disobedience to God, Adam fell into sin and brought the curse of sin upon the world. These questions are good, and the Lord wants us to ask them, so that our hearts are turned away from our own self-confidence, because he wants us to trust in him for the strength we need. The very fact that we ask what is going on, we are realizing we are not in control. We are learning that God gives us our health and God determines the measure of strength. As you face medical tests and procedures and endure the waiting for results and the next step in your treatment, you may be asking, is God still with me? Let me read a few verses with you from Psalm 40 to answer your fear. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be. I would underline the words, thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned, as they answer our fears. God's thoughts toward his children are beyond counting. Because God is omniscient, that is, all-seeing and all-knowing, he will not forget you. Even when you are distracted, so that you lose sight of the Lord, he cannot forget you. God is constantly thinking of you and working for your good. Read also verse 17 in Psalm 40 to discover that God's thoughts are not empty. He thinks on us to help. Here are his words. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. It is right, therefore, to call on the Lord in prayer for his help. The great physician shows that he cares and will come to your side to minister to your heart, even in your weakest moment. Pray then, believing what you have just learned from the Bible in Psalm 40. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I now know you know what I'm facing at this time of illness. You know every thought and every fear that fills my heart while I go through things that I do not understand. Father, draw near to me to strengthen my faith at this time. While my body is weak, reassure me of your love for my soul. Pour your grace into my life right now to help me. Do not leave me alone. I know you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to save your people from their sin. I know that for the Lord to purchase my salvation, it meant suffering on the cross. I know if he has done that, he is willing and able to help me. So in this time of my need, come, Lord Jesus, into my life to bless me with true peace with God through the gospel, and deliver me from all my fear. Thank you for your word to comfort me. Use it in my heart today. This I pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening to Let the Bible Speak Today, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church from Canada. And our church in Fredericton will be delighted to have you along at their Sunday services any Sunday at 11 a.m. And the address is 295 Route 105 for Majorville, outside the city of Fredericton. And of course, the believers there will be glad to have you along to fellowship with them any Sunday at 11 a.m. at Route 295, 105 Majorville, outside the city of Fredericton. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. It is my privilege to bring you the message of the gospel week by week at this time, and I trust it will be a means of grace to your own soul. Now, we'd love to hear that you are joining in and that you are listening to the broadcast week by week at this time. Feel free to send me an email or to look up our website for all the information concerning our radio ministry and various churches. So go to the website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. We look forward to hearing from you by email, by phone. All the information will be there. And if I can be of any personal help, one-to-one, again, just give me a call, 604-576-1091. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for joining with us at this time. Tell others. Join us again next week at the same time when, once more, we let the Bible speak.